In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have heard the story of the healing of the two possessed men and the swine many times. But let's put it into the context of the point at which we are hearing this healing described by St. Matthew. After Pentecost, we began to be taught by Jesus Christ from the Gospels in exactly the same way that he began to teach his apostles. Pentecost, we celebrated and prayed again for the descent of the Holy Spirit upon all of us as members of the body of Christ. And the next Sunday, we heard about the first calling of the apostles. And then the next Sunday, we heard the preaching of Christ about how an unsound eye, an eye that loves something other than God, more than God, will fill the body with darkness. And then we heard the absolute faith of the centurion and the way the apostles were shamed by this absolute faith of a pagan who recognized divine authority when he saw it and immediately without question accepted that authority and treated it appropriately. The faith of the apostles was not so great. Their faith was weak. Their eyes were dark. They did not see Christ in the same way that even a pagan centurion was able to see and to recognize him and to honor him in ways that would never have occurred to the apostles. And because of their weak faith, Jesus took them to a place where they could see the control of human beings by preference for that which is less than God. As a kind of lesson, he took them across the Sea of Galilee and into a country where there was a complete lack of concern with anything spiritual. The norm in that country was to ignore anything spiritual. It had become a country of the spiritually blind. The country of the Gergesenes and the Gadarenes. And the first people that they met were two possessed men. They were not greeted by the men in their own voice because these men had lost their ability to even recognize the presence of Jesus Christ. Christ was recognized, but he was recognized not in the voice of the two men, but in the voice of the demons that had completely taken over their souls. They were like dead men, like unconscious men, unable to be spoken to even by Jesus Christ, the incarnate Son of God. And the demons asked of Christ, "If you cast us out," because they know that Jesus values a human being gone so helpless that he will aid that human being. They know what's going to happen. They are going to be cast out. They tell Jesus, it's not time for us to be punished once and for all. So if you're going to cast us out, send us someplace in particular. Send us into this herd of swine. And he does it. Now these madmen revealed the ultimate spiritual condition of the people of that country. The people of the country are still at least able to calculate the satisfaction of their desires, and have pleasure in them. The demoniacs have been completely consumed by passions, lusts, desires, demons. Not to say that demons are simply passions, lusts, and desires, but whenever we give ourselves over to unspiritual passions and lusts and desires, we have communion with the enemy. We have communion with that which is against God and against our humanity. We think a choice between good and evil is a free choice of two possible things. But choosing to be in bondage to that which is unholy and hates God and hates human beings, that's not a possible choice. We are created in the image of God, and what we are is either betrayable or affirmable by us. But choosing to betray what we are as human beings, created to be like God is not a free choice. The people of this country believe that by choosing their passions and desires, they have freedom. But they are sinking more and more into a condition that ultimately becomes the condition of the demoniacs, where their will, their consciousness, their ability to see anything beyond what the demons prefer is taken away. It is a condition of spiritual bondage. Jesus cares more for a human being than for anything else in the world. These demoniacs are of no value to the people of these two towns, Gadara and Gergesa. Their wealth is in their herds of swine. From the other accounts of this encounter, we know that there were upwards of 2,000 swine. Thousands of swine, thousands of demons at large in the soul of these two men. Thousands of swine were lost to the people of the towns of Gergesa and Gadara. I even went online and tried to figure out how much is a pig worth on the market. We're talking about $600,000 to $800,000 worth of swine. Now, certainly the lives of these two indigent, homeless people who live among the tombs are not worth anything like $600,000 to $800,000 to the people of this country, for whom anything of a higher and spiritual nature is virtually invisible. And so there's no question about the two, which is worth more. They would have thanked Jesus if he had come and taken these two men away out of their country, or put them out of their misery, because what worth were they? Of what use were they, according to this worldly perspective? But for Jesus Christ, every human being, no matter what his value to those who care not about God, is worth more than anything else in creation. Absolute, ultimate value. That is the value of a human life. A man, a woman, a child, no matter how destitute, no matter how poor, no matter how sick, they are of ultimate value to Christ God and are worthless to the people of this country. And so, as an object lesson to his apostles, he casts the demons not into a rock or into a tree, but into the place of wealth of the people of this country, into their swine. And sometimes people feel like, well, poor pigs, you know. But listen, we eat these animals. We don't say poor pigs when we have our pulled pork barbecue. Say poor pig. No, we say great. The fast is over. It's time to eat barbecue. We're talking about a commodity that you can set a price on. But human beings aren't like that. You can't set a price on human beings. They are of absolute and ultimate value. In order to devalue them, in order to treat them as less than they actually are, we have to treat them as though they were animals. We have to call them animals. Say they're worth nothing to us. Keep them away. They say the same thing to Jesus Christ. They come close to using almost the same words as the demons did, those with whom they are in communion rather than God. The demons wanted Jesus to just go away, leave them alone. Don't do to us what we deserve. And the people, after the miracle, hear about the story. All of the people of the cities come out. And there is a man who was as if he were dead. A walking dead man whose soul had been consumed by passions, desires, and the demons. A man unable even to speak or think or enjoy the fruits of sin like the people of the city are still at least able to do. You know, the demons will keep us in bondage by way of our pleasure in the things that we do that are ungodly. We will not want to abandon those pleasures. We will begin to have a set of values that discounts the value of other human beings and places our own pleasure on a much higher level, and that's what these people are like. Not just with the demoniacs, who, after all, were not just profitless, but dangerous. They needed to be dealt with, and look what Jesus did. They look, St. Nikolai Velimirovich says, on the face of this calm and peaceful Son of God, standing there in meek humility as if he had not done something greater than casting the hills themselves into the sea. Because the miracle that he performed is as great or greater, St. Nikolai Velimirovich says, than raising the dead to restore a lost man to his own soul, his own mind, his own heart, restored. As this man sits now before the people of the city, and all they can think of is all they have lost, and the fact that there is not going to be any compensation from this man. Because to him, what they have lost counts for nothing compared to the life of a human being, the life of two human beings. And they respond as the demons did. Jesus Christ could have healed their spiritual blindness. They could have gone on to live lives of communion with God and love of others as themselves. But they preferred the spiritual condition that they had, and they wanted to protect jealously that spiritual condition from being interfered with, just as the demons wanted the same thing. Now, Jesus has brought his apostles into this place and has shown them what the healing of two men who lost their lives to their passions, lust, desires, and this demon-like life that they were living. Healed these two men, and he showed them, if you look with eyes that are dark, if there is nothing but darkness in you, if you don't have the kind of faith that even a pagan centurion can have, these are the kind of value judgments that you will make. You will turn away from me in the end and prefer yourselves. It is a strong and harsh lesson. But what is going on in these Sundays after Pentecost is that we, as Jesus dealt with his own apostles, we are being revealed to ourselves. If we have eyes to see that our hearts are similar to the hearts of these people who reject Christ and care nothing for the life of a fellow human being, but prefer the wealth of this world, is there anything in us that is like that? Are we vulnerable as followers of Christ, like the apostles were at the beginning? Jesus will lead his apostles through the next 3 years, as he will lead us through the rest of the years of our lives. And our response to him, our preference for him rather than blindness and self-glorification, will make us into the way we will be when we ultimately cannot escape our confrontation of the Lord. At that point, we will not be able to send him away. He leaves humbly, humbly. Consider who he is. The one who created these people, all human beings, and the swine, everything. He has come as one of us to give us the choice between ourselves and the loss of ourselves. But Jesus never forces himself on us. He makes clear to us how things are, and he leaves us free to choose. To choose what is good and holy and like us, or to betray him and ourselves. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.